Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport. Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined today by Bellarmine head coach Andy Whitley, whose team recently became the first Division I men's lacrosse program to announce its 2021 schedule, and they begin on January 30th against Mercer, a Southern Conference opponent, and we are going to talk about all the details and difficult decisions and factors that get weighed when you go into building a schedule during a time of COVID. But to begin, Coach Whitley, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to start by pulling the lens back a little bit because you and I have been fortunate to get to know each other over the course of the last couple of years pretty well. And I remember having a conversation with you shortly after you got the job at Bellarmine about what it was going to be like to build a schedule at all, right? In non-COVID times, the desire to, you know, kind of balance home and away as best as possible, which I'm sure could be challenging being based in Kentucky, the desire to balance putting aspirational games against high quality opponents on your schedule, but also making sure that you are playing the right level of competition and aggregate, particularly leading up to your conference slate. How do you describe the philosophy that you tried to take to building a schedule before COVID?
Well, I think, you know, we're obviously trying to get into the NCAA tournament. I think that's the aspirational goal of the program right now. You know, I inherited a program that, you know, has had one postseason game in the history of the program in our 15 years. So I kind of had that as a backdrop. And while I hope making the conference tournament and winning a conference championship is not an aspirational goal, but like something that we aspire to on an annual basis and as an expectation going forward, we're still in the building stages of that. So I really kind of was going to build a schedule with the eyes on conference play and preparing us for conference play and then ultimately the conference tournament in non-COVID times. And so, you know, we went about looking to play teams that I felt like over a four-year period would have a chance to be in the conference playoffs multiple times. And it's just kind of knowing the coaches and following what they do. And I felt like then, you know, if you can win a couple of those games, you feel like you're kind of ready for conference play and you've won some ball games. And if you don't, you know, if you're on the losing side of a couple of those, you're still like, well, they're pretty good. You know, that's a team that's thinking they got a shot at their conference too. So I was kind of preparing us for that, you know, over the short term. And last year's schedule, you know, Georgetown was obviously a team that felt like they could, you know, potentially win a couple of games in the NCAA tournament. They obviously didn't lose last year. And so that's obviously an elite opponent. And if we are fortunate enough to get to the NCAA tournament, I don't want our guys to be surprised by the level of opponent that we're going to face along the way. So that was kind of where that aspirational piece is. We played Hampton and St. Bonaventure because I felt like those were a couple of games that we might be a little bit favored. But obviously Coach Burns over at St. Bonnie's and last year Coach DeVoe at Hampton, they certainly know what they're doing. So there really isn't any easy ball games in Division I lacrosse. And I felt like if we could get north of 500 going into conference play, we'd feel pretty good about our chances in conference play. And the reason I say that it really was built around the conference, at least I think for the short term, you know, High Point was a couple of years ago was coming off a year where they were 13-3 and they had two road wins over Final Four teams, beat everybody in the league. Obviously they lost to Jacksonville during the regular season, but beat them in the conference tournament, lost to Richmond, but had beaten them in the regular season and just didn't get in. So I felt like we're still a little bit away from the at-large thing. So let's kind of gear everything to the conference. We were 2-6 going into conference play last year, but I felt like we lost a very competitive game to Detroit, you know, Marquette and Cleveland State. We actually had chances in the final 30 seconds to tie the game. And I kept telling our team, listen, we flip those three games. We make a couple of more plays. We feel really different about ourselves going into conference play at 5-3. And I don't know if we're really all that different. You know, we're still battle tested. We still know what those competitive games are going to feel like. We still know how to prepare. We're still used to a little bit of the travel. And so I really felt like it set us up to do well in conference play. I believe in my heart of hearts, I don't know quite how it would have happened, but I do believe we would have had a real chance to be in the conference tournament last year. I just felt like we were starting to play our best ball. And I just like, you know, I obviously am an optimist with my own team. And I just felt like we were going to get a couple along the way that would have gotten us in. We'll never know the answer to that. We're going to get a real chance to find out this year.
Yeah, that's a really good segue. And let me just, I feel like you were about to go here anyhow, but just to, I think fans are really interested in the nitty gritty of the conversations, because one of the things that became crystallized for me over the course of the last 10 months is that building a schedule is really about certainty. And so there's essentially two schools of thought. Build a schedule that you can work toward, but understand that you might have to make adjustments, versus essentially delay as long as possible, committing to that certainty so that folks aren't preparing for things that have a relatively small likelihood of coming to fruition. And one of the things about building a schedule is that it requires two parties to agree. And I would imagine that one of the biggest challenges that you faced was, we are willing to commit to these 15 games at these 15 times in these 15 locations, or at least two of those three factors, right? Maybe we know the place, but we're going to figure out the time at a different point, or vice versa. But ultimately, you need 15 other parties, 15 other your colleagues to say yes. How hard was that?
Well, when I got the job in coaching, pretty much every head coach said scheduling is the hardest part of the job. And I actually confirmed that just for exactly the reasons that you outlined. We're all driven by different motivations at different points in our program building. And so trying to get all those things aligned such that you play a game that is both sides deemed to be basically to their own benefit is really difficult to do, because there's a lot of varying factors, as you described. Throw in COVID, where uncertainty is the norm, and it just gets tougher. One of the things that I sat down with my captains and talked about is, you know, how aggressive do you want me to be as a coach in terms of putting the schedule together? And pretty much to a person, you know, my players and kind of led by the captains and the leadership group, we just want to play lacrosse. We want to play another jersey. We want to play as many games as possible. So whatever you got to do, you know, we will do. We will go anywhere. We will play anyone. We will play at any time. And I said to them, listen, we could, you know, I might be able to do two games in 2 days, you know, old school Division III lacrosse. And, you know, when I was a player back in the 90s, you play two games in 3 days all the time, or it's back-to-back games. And they just said to me that they really wanted to play. And I think part of my job as a coach is to provide my players opportunity. That's opportunity to earn minutes on game day during practice, you know. So I have an obligation, I feel like, to provide them opportunity to get reps, to compete, to improve. And so that is what the idea was behind using all 17 contests, was to provide them as many opportunities to play as possible. In the COVID era, I think it's naive, and I would use football as a backdrop, to think that we are going to, in fact, go through the season where all 17 opportunities come off without a hitch. I think historically in the last 6, 8, 9 months, that's proven to be unlikely. But the ability to adjust on the fly, the better you can do that, the more likely we can maximize those opportunities to compete. And I probably called 60 of the 73 Division I programs at some point to discuss a game schedule. I had put a kind of going into September, I had a game schedule that utilized all 17 contests that I really liked. We had a New England trip as part of it. You know, we had a fall scrimmage, you know, and I was like, all right, great. This is perfect for year two. COVID kind of starts to adjust. There's no fall outside contests, so the fall scrimmage goes away. That was where I first got the idea to play on January 30th. And, you know, it first came up with the opponent we were going to play in the fall. Kind of tentatively did it for a little bit. That opponent ultimately ended up being on our schedule for the one we released, but because of when they were brought back to school, it was a little more convenient for us to play later in the year. So we moved that game to February. You know, our New England trip obviously got canceled. Those opponents aren't allowing outside region opponents. So that trip opened up. And it just became, we had talked as a conference about potentially going the conference only route. And in our conversations as head coaches, the subject came up about playing outside of playing non-conference games against conference opponents. I think we as a league, and this is where I really think the SoCon really values the opportunity to compete. And I think with our other coaches in the league value it as well. Everyone felt like if that's the route we need to go, let's do it. And let's kind of help support each other getting games. The coaches then agreed to kind of, if we could help each other in the non-conference slate by playing multiple times, that's something that we would try and commit to, in as much as budgetary constraints were a part of this too, for all of us. The league told us that the conference schedule, as they released it, was going to be what would be considered for the conference tournament. So we kind of knew that these conference opponents a second time during the non-conference segment were going to just be non-conference games, but it allowed our kids to play. And so I kind of went through each opponent and recognizing we all had budget restrictions and COVID testing protocols that were going to be different for every school and every conference. And for the opponents that are in our league, just worked out us being able to play a second time. You know, we had a couple of them where, you know, we obviously are going to go play Jacksonville at their place twice. You know, VMI, we're doing a home and home. Mercer, we're doing a home and home. High Point, I was able to, you know, we're going to go there twice because I was able to, you know, we're going to do that on the tail end of playing North Carolina just to get us another game, get a chance for the kids to compete again. Again, the whole thing is kind of built around preparing us for conference play. You know, playing High Point after having traveled, and the second opponent of a 3-day window, if we do that, probably had a pretty good year. High Point's really good. We ultimately have now practiced traveling to High Point, playing High Point on the road. You know, the whole thing feels a little bit better. So I'm still able to kind of have my original intention of preparing us for conference play built around the fact that we have all 17 contests on a calendar. And it was ultimately what the kids told me as we built this program and continue to build this program was their highest priority. The great thing on top of that, at least for my administration, is they obviously are incredibly supportive. And I think with us moving into the Division I landscape with the rest of the department, we had historically been a Division II athletic department with our Division I lacrosse program. The timing is great because the school is very much behind athletics as the front porch to our institution. You know, basketball just won its first Atlantic Sun Conference basketball games this past weekend. So the school is behind the basketball lacrosse model as the feature sports, you know, in our department. And so to have that kind of support and the ability to go forward and at least get all 17 games on the calendar is great for us. And ultimately allowed me to kind of continue my kind of identity and our mission for our program, which is to provide kids with opportunity. We're not going to guarantee results. We're going to guarantee as much opportunity as we can get. Not always going to be equal either. You know, I don't think there is such a thing as equal opportunity, but opportunity is kind of what life is about. And so being able to give the kids again, to kind of not belabor the term, but the opportunity to compete as many times as possible, I think, is part of our mission as coaches.
So you shared a lot there. One thing I want to drill down a little deeper on is the relationship and influence within your administration. So one of the things that's comparatively unique about men's lacrosse is the control that head coaches have over building their schedule, whereas in other sports, that's dictated more by the athletic department. So what was the advice or advisement that you received internally about your strategy and plan? And the way that I distinguish the idea is, to use the football analogy, the SEC started earlier. They started on time. They started normal time and played as many games as they could. And the idea being that sticking to that schedule would allow for more buffer as the season went along, whereas the Big Ten, which ended up receiving a lot of criticism for this, started later in hope that the situation would improve and the additional amount of time to plan would increase the likelihood for success, and as a result ended up playing fewer games. If you were to overlay that analogy with lacrosse, Bellarmine and Mercer fall into the SEC camp, where it seems like the Ivy League falls into the Big Ten camp. What did you hear from your administration about your strategy?
They actually liked it from the standpoint that we were able to kind of get, we're going to be able to work on our testing protocols as we move forward. But one of the things that's been great, and we have a top-notch athletic training staff, and that's the athletic trainer assigned to my team, Chloe Klaus, and our head athletic trainer, Brad Bluestone, is that they have learned a great deal from basketball. And with the administration's support to move forward with a full schedule, the more opportunity, again, we go back to more opportunities to learn from this. It, by expanding it, we don't have a condensed number of games in a smaller window where you have like two games in 4 days. If you have a situation that evolves where you have to cancel, you know, or pull out of a game, you probably are pulling out of multiple ones. By extending it, if you have to pull out of a game, you actually, in over the course of an entire season, give yourself more opportunity to get more games in. Because as you kind of cancel, if you're conservative in your approach where you say, all right, you know what, we don't feel like we're ready for this game, you know, let's push that back. Well, we still have time. We can always, it's always easier to not do it than it is to try to force it onto the calendar. Because we don't have to play Mercer on January 30th. We can move forward as if we were going to play. And if either side at some point feels like, we're not quite ready, we don't have to play it. But if we don't have it on the calendar, then the opportunity for us to play isn't there. You're going to miss 100% of the games that you don't schedule. That's kind of the philosophy I had. And the administration gave me the ability to put them on the calendar. And I will be very frank with you. I don't think we're going to play 17 contests. I think based on watching football, based on watching basketball, that would be naive for me to say that. But I want to give us as many opportunities as we can to play. I have a short list of people that I can call if and when we cancel a game to potentially fill in one of those open Saturdays that I have. We're probably going to play an opponent this year where we don't do a heck of a lot of scouting just because the game's going to come up quick. They may not have played a lot of games. We might not played a lot of games. So I don't know if we'll have any kind of a scout, but I would rather have our guys just play because the kids are dying to play another jersey. They just, you know, we have all as administrators, as coaches, as players, as families, made a conscious choice to cautiously move forward and try and play. We don't have to take the step if we aren't comfortable. And that's part of what our administration is charged with. It's part of what our athletic training staff is charged with. It's part of what I'm charged with. And, you know, if myself or Chad's administration don't feel comfortable on January 30th, well, it won't happen. But if we do, and we are comfortable with the processes of everyone involved, I think it is very healthy mentally, physically for both of our programs. I think it's healthy for college lacrosse because it provides hope. Because if Bellarmine and Mercer can do it, we can do it, whatever that program is. And so there's, you know, people are very much in a dark place right now. It's a very challenging time mentally. And I've heard anecdotally a lot of stories both here at Bellarmine and from some of my brethren in college lacrosse about how challenging this is for college kids and human beings and people across the country, a challenging time right now. We're entertainers at the end of the day. And if we can provide hope, I think, again, that's part of what our job is. We can provide hope for our players, for their families, for fans of college lacrosse. And I think that's part of this. And it's going to be a bumpy ride this year. I don't think 2021 will be seamless for anyone. We are prepared as an institution and as a program to move forward and have it be a bumpy ride, but we have made a decision to do it together. And I am hopeful, but I think the reason there's a little bit of buzz about this game is because, you know, Bellarmine and Mercer are providing college lacrosse fans with a little bit of hope. My original intention was not to play the first college lacrosse game in the country this year. It was to provide our kids a chance to play 17 contests. And the fact that a lot of people be watching is really cool. I wanted our guys to play a relevant college lacrosse game, you know, during my first 4 years here. And it's kind of cool that this will be a relevant one. This will be a relevant college lacrosse game during the 2021 season.
So you really well laid out both the reasons for doing this as well as the, and one of the points that you made that hadn't occurred to me previously is just how few games you play in a short window of time such that one quote unquote outbreak, but I don't mean like a rash of positive tests, more so one issue where a significant percentage of your roster can't play because of contact tracing. That's what we've seen as being the issue. With two exceptions, your games are spaced out by more than 4 days, is a compelling part of the whole notion of starting earlier. Was there negative criticism or feedback that you saw or heard by virtue of announcing this schedule? Were there folks saying you shouldn't be doing this?
I haven't heard that directly. I imagine there is. I spent a lot of time talking to folks about it as we put it together. I mean, my athletic director, Scott Wiegand, was very much a part of the process. We certainly had multiple conversations about, are you comfortable with this? Are you comfortable with that? What economic restrictions do we have? You know, I've had to be creative with the economics of it. And to be very candid, the level of support that I've received from the Bellarmine Lacrosse Alumni Network and from the Bellarmine Lacrosse Parent Group is something that I thought I would have to take years to earn, both financial and just anecdotally supportive. The fact that the program, you know, from the alumni and the parent group and the administration continues to be like, we really like the direction that we're going and the experience that you're creating for our kids and our program is very helpful, but it was a lot of selling and a lot of spelling out the details. And it is it's not a perfect process. And I had, when our administration said, we don't like that, I had to adjust. And it just kind of came together, and I felt like as many games as we could get while staying within the framework of the rules that the NCAA laid out, and our conference laid out, that I would give us those chances. And I felt like more time was better between games, partly because of the contact tracing. It turned out to be I may have gotten lucky in terms of some of the CDC adjustments to timelines for contact tracing. But I just felt like if we had an outbreak of positives, probably we were going to lose guys for 3 weeks. I was trying to limit the number of lost contests. If we had a point where we only had 17, 18 guys that could play and we didn't have a goalie. But I also told our kids, I said, listen, unless you guys tell me you are no longer comfortable with this, or there's a health issue that is brought forth by our athletic training staff, I'm going to try to keep moving forward. And the one thing I feel very confident about with our athletic training staff is that if they weren't sure, they're going to err on the side of caution. And that's why I have a great deal of confidence in them. Chloe and Brad just have done a really good job with our basketball programs, both the men and the women. So I have a lot of confidence in their expertise that, if they tell me it's okay, they have done the research. They have ultimately done the work. They have coordinated with our doctor, Dr. Curry, our athletic department doctor to be like, this is as safe as we can expect at this point. And you guys have done your part as players and as coaches to put the kids in a safe place in order to be able to compete.
So we've spent about 20, 30 minutes talking about what is essentially boardroom stuff. Let's end with the fun stuff and talk lacrosse. What's the outlook for this night's squad?
I really like our kids. You know, we're in year two. I really felt like when I got here that we had a really good identity that I felt like our program could take on. And, you know, we've gotten a heck of an effort this fall and a heck of an effort the first, you know, 10 days of practice. We had a inter-squad scrimmage on Saturday and it was pretty spirited, I got to be honest. And it's not clean lacrosse. It's not perfect lacrosse, but the kids play hard. And that is one of the really critical pieces for me, identity-wise, that I want our program to be about. As we are in the building stage, I got to imagine there's going to be some times where people are there more talented than us. I want us to play super hard. And we did that last year very consistently. And I think kids are comfortable with our systems. Kids are comfortable with our expectations. And I think we're going to continue to play harder than our opponent. As we continue to improve our skill, we're going to win some ball games. But that is an identity that I really want us to have. And we really have done it in the preseason here so far. We're going to get a chance to see University of Indianapolis on Saturday before we play Mercer in a scrimmage. And it'll be nice to see another jersey and do the dress rehearsal thing, you know, on the 23rd. I am going to have, as you said, I've been doing a lot of the boardroom stuff. I am going to rely pretty extensively, you know, on my defensive coordinator, Nick Marks, my offensive coordinator, Steve Soriano, and my volunteer assistant, Ryan Burke, to do a lot of the game planning stuff, because as I'm sure you can imagine, I spend quite a bit of time as a scheduler and administrator trying to put this thing together. I've said to my players, I'm a part-time scheduler, part-time lacrosse coach, and hopefully in 2022 I can go back to being a full-time lacrosse coach when the vaccine is kind of filtered its way through the American population.
Well, Coach Whitley, we really appreciate your time on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. Enjoy not only the next couple weeks of practice as you guys prepare for the Mercer Bears, but also that scrimmage against Indianapolis that you mentioned, and look forward to tuning into the first college lacrosse game of the 2021 season.
Sounds good. I really appreciate the time, Terry.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.